With such an attitude, a view both of the world, the good things in the world and the bad things in the world, it is possible for us to have and to live an orthodox worldview. That is, an orthodox view on the whole of life, not just on narrow church subjects. There exists a false opinion, which unfortunately is all too widespread today, that it is enough to have an orthodoxy that is limited to the church building and formal orthodox activities, such as praying at certain times or making the sign of the cross. In everything else, so this opinion goes, one can be like anyone else, participating in the life and culture of our time without any problem, as long as we don't commit sin. Anyone who has come to realize how deep orthodoxy is and how full is the commitment which is required of the serious orthodox Christian, and likewise what totalitarian demands the contemporary world is making on us, will easily see how wrong this opinion is. One is orthodox all the time, every day, in every situation of life, or one is not really orthodox at all. Our orthodoxy is revealed not just in our strictly religious views, but in everything we do and say. Most of us are very unaware of the Christian religious responsibility we have for the seemingly secular part of our lives. A person with a truly orthodox worldview lives every part of his life as orthodox and Christian. Let us therefore ask here, how can we nourish and support this orthodox worldview in our daily life? That is, what are the orthodox things that strengthen us as opposed or rather added to those worldly things which we already mentioned as helping out the orthodox worldview? The first and most obvious way is to be in constant contact with the sources of Christian nourishment, with everything that the Church gives for our enlightenment and salvation. Church services and holy mysteries, Holy Scripture, the lives of saints, the writings of the Holy Fathers. One must, of course, read books that are on one's own level of understanding and apply the Church's teachings to one's own circumstances in life. Then they can be fruitful in guiding us and changing us in the Christian way. But often these basic Christian sources do not have their full effect on us, or they don't really affect us at all, because we don't have the right Christian attitude towards them and towards the Christian life they're supposed to inspire. Let me say a word here about what our attitude should be if we are to obtain real benefit from them, and if they are going to be for us the beginning of a truly orthodox worldview. First of all, Christian spiritual food, by its very nature, is something which is living and nourishing. If our attitude towards it is only academic and bookish, we will fail to get the benefit it is meant to give. Therefore, if we read orthodox books, or are interested in orthodoxy only to gain information or to show off our knowledge to others, we are missing the point. If we learn of the commandments of God and the laws of His Church merely so we can be correct and judge the incorrectness of others, we are missing the point. These things must not merely affect our ideas. They must directly touch our lives and change them. In any time of great crisis in human affairs, such as the critical times right in front of us in the free world, it's a matter not of centuries or decades, it's a matter of a few years or months in front of us, it's critical times. In these times, those who place their trust in outward knowledge, in laws and canons and correctness, will be unable to stand. The strong ones then will be those whose orthodox education has given them a feel for what is truly Christian, those whose orthodoxy is in the heart and is capable of touching other hearts. Nothing is more tragic than to see someone who is raised in orthodoxy, has a certain idea of the catechism, has read some lives of saints, has a general outline of what orthodoxy stands for, understands some of the services, and then is totally unaware of what is going on around him. And he has children and gives to his children this life in two categories. One is the way most people live, and the other way is the way Orthodox live on Sundays and when they're reading some Orthodox texts. When the child is raised like that, is most likely not going to take the Orthodox. It's going to be a very small part of his life because the contemporary life is too attractive. And too many people are going for it. It's too much a part of reality today, unless he's been really taught how to approach it, how to guard himself against the bad effects of it and how to take the good things which are in the world. Therefore, second point, our attitude beginning right now must be down to earth and normal. We say this in a time when everything has become very abnormal and weird. That is, our attitude must be applied to the real circumstances of our life. It cannot be a product of fantasy and escapism and refusal to face the often unpleasant facts of the world around us. If our orthodoxy is too exalted, too much in the clouds, it belongs in a hothouse and is incapable of helping us in our daily life, let alone saying anything for the salvation of those around us. Our world is quite cruel, and it wounds souls with its harshness. And we have to respond, first of all, with down-to-earth Christian love and understanding, leaving accounts of hesychasm and advanced forms of prayer to those capable of receiving them. So also our attitude must be not self-centered, but reaching out to those who are seeking for God and for a godly life. Nowadays, whenever there is a good-sized Orthodox community, the temptation is to make it into a society for self-congratulation and for taking delight in our Orthodox virtues and achievements. The beauty of our church buildings and furnishings, the splendor of our services, even the purity of our doctrine. But the true Christian life, ever since the time of the apostles, has always been inseparable from communicating it to others. An orthodoxy that is alive by this very fact shines forth to others, and there is no need to open a department of missions to do this. The fire of true Christianity communicates itself without this. If our orthodoxy is only something we keep for ourselves and boast about it, then we are the dead burying the dead, which is precisely the state of many of our Orthodox parishes today, even those that have a large number of young people, if they are not going deeply into their faith. It's not enough to say the young people are going to church. You have to ask, what are they getting in church? What are they taking away from church? And if they are not making orthodoxy a part of their whole life, then it's not that they're available from being in church. Likewise, another point, our orthodoxy must be loving and forgiving. There's a kind of hardness which has crept into Orthodox life today. You say things like, that man is a heretic, don't go near him. Or that one is Orthodox, supposedly, but you can't really be sure. Or that one there is obviously a spy. See, it's apparently a common thing. Often we don't mean this too seriously, but this attitude is a very cruel one, and it can become very harsh. No one will deny that the church is surrounded by enemies today, or that there are some who stoop to taking advantage of our trust and confidence. But this is the way it has been since the time of the apostles, and the Christian life has always been something of a risk in this practical way. But even if we are sometimes taken advantage of, in fact, new Christians in places like Ghana and Africa, where they really take their Christianity seriously, and they read the gospel, they begin to act according to the gospel, they give themselves up, and someone hits them on the cheek, they turn the other cheek. They give away things without expecting anything in return. And the pagans who live in places like Ghana and Nigeria, they delight in this because they say, aha, there's a Christian we can take advantage of. Go take something, you won't expect it back. And the Christians, of course, they do it in good faith. And they get the reward for that, even though they're taken advantage of. Of course, we have to show some caution, so we aren't simply done in completely. But still, we cannot give up our basic attitude of love and trust. Because without that, we lose one of the very foundations of our Christian life. The world, which has no Christ, is more true than ever before, that today that the world has no Christ, even when it sometimes talks about it on television, has to be mistrustful and cold. But Christians, on the contrary, have to be loving and open, or else we will lose the salt of Christ within us and become just like the world, good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. So a little humility in looking at ourselves would help us to be more generous and forgiving of the faults of others. We love often to judge others for the strangeness of their behavior. Often we call them cuckoos, or, a particular phrase used nowadays, crazy converts. It is, of course, true that we should beware of really unbalanced people who can do great harm in the church. But one should ask the question, what serious Orthodox Christian today is not a little crazy? We don't fit in with the ways of the world. If we do, in today's world, which has become so weird, we aren't serious Christians. A true Christian today cannot be at home in the world. He cannot help but feel himself and be regarded by others as a little crazy. Finally, our Christian attitude must be what, for want of a better word, I would call something which is very unfashionable today, innocent. Today, the world places a high value on sophistication, on being worldly wise, on being a professional. Orthodoxy places no value on these qualities. They kill the Christian soul. And yet these qualities constantly creep into the church and into our lives. How often one hears enthusiastic converts, especially, express their desire of going to the great Orthodox centers, the cathedrals and monasteries where sometimes thousands of the faithful come together. Everywhere the talk is of church matters, and one can feel how important Orthodoxy is after all. That is, Orthodoxy is a small drop in the bucket when you look at the whole of society, but in these great cathedrals and monasteries, there's so many people that it seems as though it's a really important thing. It makes us feel important. And how often one sees these same people in a pitiful state after they have indulged their desires, returning from these great Orthodox centers, sour and dissatisfied, filled with worldly church gossip and criticism, anxious above all to be correct and proper and worldly wise about church politics. In a word, they have lost their innocence, their unworldliness, being led astray by their fascination with the worldly side of the church's life. In various forms, this is a temptation to everyone today in the church, and we must fight it by not allowing ourselves to overvalue the externals of the church, but always returning to the one thing needful, Christ and the salvation of our souls from this wicked generation. We do not need to be ignorant of what goes on in the world and in the church. In fact, for our own self-defense, we have to know something of this. But our knowledge must be practical and simple and single-minded, not sophisticated and not worldly.